dedicated to you, my friend, the reader. A book is a long letter to just one person. So welcome. I'm excited that you're here. Thank you for joining me, because I view this as a conversation between two close friends. No matter our age, we all still carry that vulnerable little girl or boy inside. No matter our age, we all tend to revert to unhealthy ways of coping when life hurts. So, my friend, this book is for you. All of us. I have written every word painstakingly with you in my mind's eye and carried you close in my heart with every single word written. Thank you for trusting me. My letters are the most personal, vulnerable, loving gift I could give you. I trust you find the hope, inspiration, and courage to embrace change and live the life you were created to live. We need each other. So let's do this together, you and me. Chapter 1, Anxiety, Fear. Do one thing every day that scares you. My dear fear-filled conqueror, I place this challenging quote on the desk in my office intentionally to stare me in the face every single morning when I walk in, daring me to face my fears head on and do what I fear most. Of all the topics I tackle, I am highly qualified to speak to you on this topic of anxiety and fear. You're looking at one hot mess, just saying. I could have earned a doctorate degree in anxiety. The struggle is real. You have to know that it seemed like a "you talking to me" moment, pretty much mission impossible, when God tapped me on the shoulder and placed this massive calling and vision on my life to start and lead this movement and mission called Girls Night In International. I had spent my life and career as a teacher, a music educator, a counselor, a worship leader, a pastoral leader, and a professional musician and performer. I was very comfortable behind a mic, as long as it involved singing, performing, directing music, or playing piano, the instrument I passionately love. However, the one thing that brought me terrible anxiety to the point of making me physically sick was public speaking. I had always had a paralyzing, horrible, debilitating fear of speaking in public in front of a crowd of people. Talking one-on-one? No problem. I love that. But put a mic in my hand and stick me in front of a crowd, and I want to throw up or run. Know what I'm talking about? Even a simple thing like making a phone call can bring me terrible anxiety. In fact, my family laughs at me. It's a running joke around our house. If you see a lot of little 3x5 index cards spread out all over the kitchen counter, Mama must be getting up the courage to make a phone call. It is pathetic. I get so nervous about what to say, I literally have to script out my conversation. You think I'm kidding? I've probably had to do that before calling some of you. All this to be totally vulnerable with you and share the humbling fact that I did not arrive on the scene fully formed. It's been a journey that I'm still on. I have worked with fierce intentionality and strong determination to change my self-talk. I purposefully challenged myself through leadership development and personal growth to rise to the challenge, call, and purpose on my life to become all that God has created me to be. That has required fierce determination, deep resilience, and grit to grow and push through my fear. I set strategic goals to grow as a leader and a speaker, as well as develop the business skills to lead and run a global nonprofit. All this required doing the hard work in my personal life to get a grip on my fears and crippling anxiety. So when I speak on this topic, I am right there with you in the struggle. Which brings me to a question. What are you afraid of? What do you fear? What gives you tight knots in your stomach? What stresses you out? What made you lose sleep and kept you awake last night? We all fear something. Maybe you worry if you're going to have a prom date, or you worry that she's going to steal your man. If you're shy, you might be terrified of the teacher calling on you in class. Maybe your fear is college or having a career. Everybody's asking you what you're going to do or where you're going to be when you, quote unquote, grow up, and you don't have a clue. Maybe your fear is a result of your own stupidity and poor decisions. You live in constant anxiety and dread over the consequences of a not-so-smart, not-so-wise choice you've made. Perhaps you have very real fears about whether your family is going to stay together, the fights you overhear, and the cruel words that are said play over and over in your mind. Or sheer terror may not be strong enough to describe the emotions surging through you every night because you don't know what your future looks like. Perhaps your mama, the only parent you have in your life, has been diagnosed with cancer or another life-threatening disease, and you really, really don't know what that means for her or for you. What I do know for sure, we all fear something. Some of our fears are real, and some are downright stupid crazy. But one thing is for sure, fear can absolutely paralyze us. What were your fears growing up? The dark? Thunderstorms? Spiders? Or the monster under your bed or in your closet? Shower curtains? Or what's hiding behind them? Yep. Ever seen the movie Psycho? Research shows that 90% of the things that we worry about never happen. Anxiety does not have to define you. So, how do we deal with our anxiety? Let's talk strategy. I want to share with you 6 practical action steps that will help you cope with stress, face your fear, and get a grip on your anxiety. If you can grab hold of even just one of these helpful steps and start to practice it, your life will begin to change. Game on. Action number 1, name your fear. Well, duh, that might sound simple or even stupid, but you can't deal with something you're pretending doesn't even exist. So let's talk real. What's stressing you out? What are you afraid of? What are you scared to talk about? Say it out loud. Admit your struggle is real. Action step number 2, stop catastrophizing. What the what? Catastrophizing is just a big word that simply means to expect the worst. You know, when you're thinking about a situation and immediately your mind begins imagining and expecting the worst, you start thinking of all the what-ifs, all the horrible things that might happen, obsessing about all the terrible things that could happen, like playing softball and striking out in your mind before you even get to the plate, or psyching yourself out of auditioning for the school play because you're afraid you'll forget your lines and make a complete idiot of yourself. determine right now to break your old habit of always thinking and expecting the worst. People hear what they fear. Logic tends to whisper, whereas fear tends to scream. Determine right now to break your old habit of always thinking and expecting the worst. Stop making yourself the victim of catastrophic thinking, allowing your mind to obsess and imagine the absolute worst. Oh my gosh, but what if? What do you spend your time and energy thinking about? Because you are spending it somewhere, in either a negative or positive way. Thinking requires energy. Obsessing requires energy. So you must make a choice and say, I refuse to part and stay stuck in this negative headspace. Negative thinking does me no good. It serves no purpose whatsoever. Negative thinking steals time. Moments I will never get back. Fear does not have to control your life or ruin your life. Make a deliberate choice. Choose to retrain your brain, one thought at a time, to focus on healthy, positive thoughts, not trapped in all the negative self-chatter and drama that will destroy you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. When an unreasonable fear starts stressing and freaking you out, call yourself out. Nope, not today. What in the heck am I doing? Stop, seriously. You gotta call yourself out and be tough on yourself. No buts. If you're not willing to do this, you're essentially willing to put up with your life just like it is. Self-talk matters. What you tell yourself day to day plays a major role in your anxiety level. I remember when I was in high school and completely stressing out over something trivial and insignificant. One of the best things my mama taught me was to ask myself this question. 5 years from now, what will this matter? That one question will put a lot of your short-term stress in perspective. You can't change the stress, but you can change the way you respond to it. For example, petty drama on social media is an absolute waste of your time and will destroy you. Don't get sucked into it. What you feed your mind determines who you will become. What music is your jam? Which artists are on your playlist? What type of shows and movies do you binge watch? Because what you feed your mind is who you will become. Feeding your mind truth is so important. Otherwise, you will stay trapped and stuck in the same emotions, the same toxic thoughts and beliefs that have kept you from growing into who you want to become. I work intentionally to strengthen and focus my mind by writing positive affirmations and placing inspiring quotes all over my house, by reading biographies of strong leaders that I admire, and selectively choosing what music, news, and information I let permeate my world. We've got to infuse our minds with truth, because honestly, we don't think right. You become what you believe. God will bring healing to our deepest fears and anxiety when we ask for His help and trust Him. Over and over, God's Book of Truth shows that God is sensitive to our fears and wants to give us courage and strength to rise above them. Don't be ashamed to admit you're broken. Can I tell you the truth? We're all broken. God specializes in broken. God accepts you just as you are, but He has very real plans to change you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. I find that very comforting. God knows that we will experience fear, but He doesn't beat us up and condemn us for that. I don't know about you, but that brings me great peace and comfort. Instead, God gives us a strategy, a plan to overcome our fear and anxiety. We have two choices when we're scared and afraid. Choice number one, fear. Choice number two, trust. Here's what God's Book of Truth says. When I am afraid, I will put my trust and faith in you. Clearly, God is acknowledging that we will be afraid and feel legit fear. But He doesn't abandon us and leave us alone, panicking in that fear that is strangling us. Read that phrase one more time with me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust and faith in you. There are two strong emotions described here. The first one, afraid, which feels like fear. The second emotion, trust, which feels like safety. But then we have two action choices. The choice is yours to make. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. So my choices, on one side, fear. When I am afraid, which is fear, or on the other side, trust. I will put my trust and faith in you. So God acknowledges that we will have fear when I am afraid. So don't beat yourself up because you are afraid, but what do you do with that is what matters. When I am afraid, I will put my trust and faith in you. Trust is an active choice of your will. I must choose to stop obsessing about my fear and actively choose to trust God. Maybe you're thinking, Jimmy, I'm just not feeling it. Same. I don't feel it many times either. That's when it becomes an active choice of your will. Act anyway. Choose to allow your faith to be bigger than your fear. Action three, stop panicking. Fear always produces a physical reaction. It might be fear of bridges, elevators, clowns, heights, that's me, or being in a crowd when you have social anxiety. The fact is, we feel our fear. You ever had a panic attack? What happens physically when you have an anxiety attack? Let's name some of the physical symptoms or reactions that we experience. Your stomach knots up, sweating like crazy, knees weaken, heart beats faster, your body starts trembling, your breathing accelerates, muscles tense up and tightening. Did you know there are specific things you can do on purpose to alter the physical reaction of your body when you feel fear? Because I've spent my career as a professional musician, teaching and performing, I've learned some practical steps to reduce the physical reaction of my body when I feel fear or stressed out with anxiety. Allow me to share these practical coping strategies with you. The first one, monitor your breathing. What happens when you panic? First of all, you begin shallow chest breathing. Then you feel the need to breathe more quickly, which causes you to hyperventilate. So, how do you counter that? Practice deep abdominal breathing. Let your stomach, your tummy, relax. And then inhale slowly and deeply for 10 seconds. Hold your breath for several seconds, then slowly blow it out through your lips, like letting air out of a balloon. This one technique alone helps you gain control of your body. Next, relax muscles that you tend to tighten. The next time you feel panic coming on, make a point to notice how your muscles respond. Do you clench your hands? Do you cross your legs tightly? Squeeze your butt cheeks? Fold your arms? Tighten your stomach muscles, clench your teeth. All these reactions just increase your stress level. Make a conscious decision to do exactly the opposite. Intentionally relax your muscles when you are tense. Move your head around to loosen your tight neck muscles, round and round. Open your mouth. And let your jaw hang limp and just rub the sides of your cheeks. Relax your butt cheeks. Open your clenched hands and let them hang loosely. Then shake your whole body. Shake it out, shake it out. And then do something physical. Physical activity really does help reduce stress when you are filled with anxiety. For example, walk, run, skip, shoot hoops, play sports, dance, or play with your dog. Anything that will bring you joy and make you laugh. Laughter truly is the best medicine. When we panic, we only make the situation worse. Action number 4. Confront your fear. Stare the lion in the face. At some point, it is necessary to do the very thing that frightens you, the thing you fear most. We have to face our fear head on, conquering any fear begins with facing the fact that fear itself cannot be fully avoided. So take small baby steps forward. If you think you need to wait until you're no longer afraid, you will never conquer your fear. You don't cure a fear by analyzing it to death, but through experiencing it in baby steps. For example, maybe you have a fear of heights. That would be me. Or elevators or bridges. You might need to ask for the help of someone you trust, such as a friend or mentor, to help you gain courage to step into the situation that causes you fear. Their assistance and encouraging words can give you courage. Sometimes we need someone to come alongside us to encourage us to move forward and do the very thing we fear. I have always been terrified of dogs. I was bitten by one when I was little, and that made me scared to be around dogs or to trust them. Well, one day, a number of years ago, I was teaching piano lessons in my studio, and in the door walked my handsome 20-something-year-old son, Jason. I ran over to greet him with a great big hug. Jason had his coat pulled suspiciously tight around him, and he slyly grinned at me while proudly announcing, "G-ma, meet Tyson. Tyson, meet G-ma," as he slowly opened his coat to reveal an adorable little black ball of fur, an abandoned puppy named Tyson. Needless to say, as he placed Tyson in my arms, it was love at first sight. He had me at hello, or rather, woof. So that was step one. Jason also has another rescue dog named Champ. Well, I was absolutely terrified of Champ, and certainly would not dare think of reaching my hand down in front of his slobbery, growling, menacing teeth to feed him. But Jason was determined to help his mama get over my fear of feeding the dogs. So what did he do? Jason took my hand and placed it in his. He put a dog treat in my hand. As he calmly talked to me, he gently encouraged and instructed me that together we were going to feed Champ that treat. I'm not going to lie, it took several attempts, well, maybe a lot of, before Champ ever got that treat. But Jason came alongside me, eased my fear by taking my hand in his, and helped coach me to be less afraid to put my hand close to that dog's mouth. So, just maybe someone coming alongside you is exactly what you need. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Warning, that help might just come in the name of Champ or Tyson. Action 5, find a safe person you trust and talk through your fears. Confide in and talk with someone you trust. If you are struggling with fear or anxiety, the presence of someone you trust with whom you feel safe is huge. A quote that I share so often, the best present you can give someone is your presence. Don't ever underestimate the power of presence. The presence of someone you trust, or your presence when someone needs you. Ultimately, the safest refuge is God's presence. I have learned that personally, deeply, in a profound way. God is my refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. After my Lyme disease diagnosis, God's Spirit and His presence are so alive in me and are the only hope I have to face the unknown of my future. He will be your hope too, my friend. In God alone, my soul finds rest. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Psalm 62, 1 and 2. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy, for in you my soul takes refuge. Psalm 57, 1. God's presence really is the only true security we have to help calm our deepest, darkest fears and to face the unknown future. Action 6, control your fear by reshaping your thoughts and identifying your triggers. We control our fear by learning to reshape our thoughts. You are what you think. If you constantly dwell on your anxiety, it will overtake you. If you allow yourself to obsess because you have and deal with anxiety, you will stay just that, anxious, an anxious person. Fear will absolutely paralyze you. Identifying my own triggers. I realized I have carried a high level of internal anxiety since I was a little girl. No one talked openly about emotions and feelings in my family, and I certainly didn't have a name to put to what I felt inside. I had a lot of stomach issues, kept all of my emotions tightly locked up inside my little head, and lived with a constant sense of dread and fear. I now realize a lot of my anxiety and fear was rooted in expectation, my daddy's expectations. My daddy was very difficult to live with, a rigid perfectionist who was incapable of expressing affection and was verbally abusive and impossible to please. Daddy's impossible expectations of me created an inner turmoil of never measuring up, always longing to be accepted and loved, and never really feeling safe because I didn't know when the next verbal explosion of insults was coming. All the demons from his past that he was personally fighting made our family life hell. Rigid rules and impossible standards about everything. There was one right way to do everything, his way. Daddy was OCD to the extreme, and he expected us to read his mind, automatically know his right way without any explanation from him. The scalding, demeaning, heart-piercing, soul-shattering words he said when I didn't do something right by his unreasonable standards, even though I was constantly trying my hardest to please him, trying not to upset him or set him off. Those words still ring in my head and affect how I think about myself. What are you, stupid? I told Mighty, you about a dumb one. You stupid, just get out of my way. Those cutting, insulting words deeply shaped me and defined who I thought I was. Stupid and incapable. That has carried over into the thoughts that immediately flood my mind as an adult and how I view myself when I don't live up to the expectations I've set for myself. Growing up in fear and a lack of security deeply affected my lack of confidence and belief in myself. But then there were also the internal expectations I have of myself. I've also come to realize I transferred that wrong view onto myself, and a lot of my anxiety comes from putting unrealistic expectations and high demands on myself. Impossible expectations that are unattainable and impossible to reach cause me to beat myself up and hate myself. I never feel good enough. I give other people lots of grace, but not myself. I feel I have to do things perfectly. I have realized a lot of that wrong perspective is rooted in trying to meet Daddy's impossible, unattainable expectations. So, reversing my mindset and perspective has been a conscious, ongoing goal. Sometimes I succeed, other days I fail, but I keep trying. I have worked extremely hard all my life because of the high standards I have set for myself. God has gifted me to be an extremely high-capacity person with a high capacity for leadership and life. God also gifted me with a high capacity for relationships and loving others deeply, because He apparently created me with a heart the size of the globe. Because of this, dealing with the new normal and limitations of my life while fighting, battling, and living with chronic advanced Lyme disease has been devastating and creates a tremendous amount of extra stress. Sometimes I set impossibly high expectations on myself and have trouble forgiving myself if I cannot meet them, or if people get upset because I don't meet their expectations and unrealistic demands. So, I choose to meet with God every morning and give my body, my brain, my life, my hopes, my plans, my day to Him, to do with me as He pleases. All that really matters is the approval of One, the voice of One, His favor over my life. I choose every day to be grateful for what I can do and not dwell on what I can't do. I've had to realize my life now is no longer about time management, but about energy management. I love so deeply and so fiercely that it grieves me profoundly not to be able to care for and spend time with people, loving on them, mentoring, counseling, and ministering one-on-one as much as I used to and still long to do. Although the scope and influence God has given over my life has become far-reaching, the most important thing that matters to me is the approval and smile of God's pleasure over my life. As I have worked painfully hard to rehab my body and my brain and to re-enter life and leadership on the days that my body has stamina and my brain has healed enough to regain some capacity, I find myself facing a, quote, new normal. And to be honest, I miss the old me. Many days, to be perfectly honest, I hate the new me. The struggle is still very real, and the wrestling match that goes on in my mind is fierce. I start beating myself up when I can't do what I used to do, and the lies start bombarding my mind. You're worthless. You suck. You're useless. You don't have what it takes anymore, Jimmy. You're not worth loving. Maybe you should just go away, throw in the towel, and give up. It's over, girl. God's done with you. God has to remind me every single day that those are lies meant to destroy me. He has to gently remind me of the very same words I trademarked and lovingly say to you. You are welcome. You are wanted. You are valued. You are loved. You are loved just as you are. In all your brokenness, in all your weakness, in all your struggles. If you came over to my house, you would see post-it notes placed strategically all around my house, in my kitchen, on my bathroom mirror, and in my treatment room, where I get medical IV infusions to keep fighting this disease. Affirmations from God's Book of Truth and inspiring, positive, motivating quotes to intentionally focus my mind and thoughts, to stop the negative, self-defeating thoughts that bombard my mind as my body and brain continue to heal. Truths that remind me I don't need to be fearful, scared, or afraid, because God loves me, cares for me, will protect me, and will never leave me, abandon me, or forsake me. I share all of this to be honest, raw, and real with you, so that you know you are not alone. You are loved just like you are. You are loved, wanted, valued, seen, and accepted. The struggles may be very real, but God does have a plan and purpose for your life. So what really causes our anxiety? If you really get to the root of anxiety, it is this: fear of the unknown, not being able to control your situation. The major reason we panic is fear we are losing control. Let me share with you what God has to say about anxiety and worry. God told us exactly what we need to do when anxiety and panic set in, because they will. But the good news is that God does not leave us alone to deal with our fears. He teaches us how to work through our anxiety. When we are gripped with fear or worry. When we are gripped with fear or worry, He tells us exactly what to do to be flooded with peace and less afraid of the future. God shares this amazingly tender and simple truth about anxiety that I can't wait to share with you. Here's what He said. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant. or harvest or store food in barns, because your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet, Solomon, the richest man in the world, ever, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. So don't worry about these things. Your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6:25-34. And He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6:25-34. Matthew 6:25-34. Which you can't control. God gives us very specific help, a very specific plan when fear, anxiety, or panic threatens to overtake us. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. The Old English word from which we get our word worry literally means to strangle or choke. That is exactly what worry does. It is a kind of mental and emotional strangulation. Have you ever been so consumed with worry and severe anxiety over a situation that it feels as though you are choking, you are strangling, and you quite literally feel as if you can't breathe? A true panic attack. Worry is the greatest thief of a peaceful mind. Even God recognizes and knows that it's not enough just to tell us to quit worrying, because that will never get to the root of our problem. Don't worry. Instead, pray. Pray your worries to God. Leave the rest to Him. Trust God to be faithful, just like He promised. Just like the theme song from the Disney movie Frozen says, "Let it go, let it go." Or as my little grand darling Trey belts out from his car seat, "Let it go, let it go, me don't care." Actually, that's pretty wise advice from a 3-year-old. "Me don't care," meaning I'm no longer worrying or trying to control the outcome of the situation. God, You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in You, all whose thoughts are fixed on You. Isaiah 26:3. Dealing with fear and anxiety is an ongoing process. New circumstances or challenges will come into your life that will unexpectedly and legitimately accelerate your struggle with fear versus trust. Whenever you start to worry, ask yourself this question. Am I dwelling on the problem or working on a solution? When we're consumed with worry and anxiety, it really is a slap in God's face. What you fear most reveals where you trust God the least. Worry says, I don't think God can provide. Worry says, He's not powerful enough to handle my problems. Worry says, I can solve my problems by stressing constantly. Really? How's that working for you? Worry says, God, you're not capable of trust. So the real question is, do I trust God? Listen to these words from Jesus himself. Not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do you know how many hairs you have on your head? I don't either. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Matthew 10:29-31. If you came over to my house and joined me for a cup of coffee at my kitchen table, you would see a framed quote hanging on my wall in very prominent view with these words, "Fear not tomorrow. God is already there." You know why? Because my heart needs to see that truth every single morning. I am so prone to fear. How about you? Next time you're feeling helpless, hopeless, or scared, remember, God has shouted His love to you from the cross. Do you need Him to remind you that He cares, that He knows your name? All you got to do is look out your window and watch a little bird. Does that little sparrow worry about her next meal? No, God provides. Not a single sparrow falls from the sky without Him knowing. Or take a look at those gorgeous wildflowers. They're not fretting and filled with anxiety about whether they're going to have clothes. Will I have one petal today or five? God dresses them in radiant splendor and breathtaking colors. And they're here today, but gone tomorrow. Poof. Do you not think He cares for you? God's got you. God's got you. God's got you. With more love than you can imagine, Jimmy. God's got you. God's got you. With more love than you can imagine, Jimmy.